Dare for sleep. The secret to ending long-term insomnia is to tackle it on two fronts. You need to address it on a mental level by ending the fear of not sleeping, as well as on a physical level, which involves implementing the latest in good sleep hygiene. With this audio, you'll be creating a new relationship with your bed and a whole new way of thinking about sleep in general. First thing I want to say before we begin is that you don't fix a long-term chronic insomnia problem in one night. You need to be prepared to take a longer-term approach to this. For some, that will mean ending their insomnia in a few weeks. For others, it may mean a few months. Each person is different. There is no overnight cure, nor is there some magical external cure like a special pillow or herb to end insomnia. You are the cure. You have it within you to end this problem. There is nothing wrong with you or your brain. Insomnia is a behavioral problem that can be corrected by following what I'm going to explain here. What I ask of you is that you commit to the steps here and give it your all. If you try something for just one night and don't get results, that doesn't mean it doesn't work. If you take that approach for every insomnia treatment, you'll always be running from one thing to the next, always searching for a miracle cure. What I'll be explaining here is the very best mental game you can adopt to end insomnia, as well as the latest information in good sleep hygiene. So let's begin. First, let's discuss the mental game and why you need to create an entirely new relationship with sleep in general. Here I'm going to be teaching you the DARE response for insomnia. Chronic long-term insomnia is most often caused by the fear of not sleeping. Just like with anxiety, it's the fear of fear that keeps the problem in place. You dread your bed and the results of another night of not sleeping. To break the cycle of insomnia, you have to get out of your own way. And that means you have to stop trying to sleep. As strange as it sounds, it's your effort that is keeping the struggle with insomnia going. You're trying to force something that has to unfold naturally without your effort. What that means is that when you lay down in your bed, you need to be allowing of whatever happens at night. You've got to be really okay with the idea of not sleeping at night at all. If sleep happens, great. If it doesn't, you don't catastrophize about it. You approach each night as simply an opportunity to sleep. It's not a given. By doing this, you start to remove the pressure that you're placing yourself under. The struggle with insomnia usually begins with a "what if I don't sleep again" thought. You need to quickly diffuse those anxious "what ifs" with a dismissive statement like, "whatever, if I get 1 or 2 hours of sleep, that's well and good. If I don't sleep at all, I'll survive. I've survived before." When people say they've not slept in days, they're usually not being totally accurate. What happens for almost everyone is that they go in and out of very light sleep, which is enough for them to survive on. This is something that sleep studies do show. You might be exhausted the next day, but it's actually enough sleep for you to survive on. What I want is for you to now prepare a series of good rebuttals to any what-if thoughts that come up during the night. Write them down somewhere and memorize them. Some examples can be, "So what? I can survive on little to no sleep. I'm okay with that. I usually have this fear that I won't sleep, but I do get to sleep in the end. I've slept on nights before high pressurized events. I can do it again. Whatever, if I sleep, I sleep. If not, I'll survive. I always have." Next, once you've diffused the what-ifs, allow whatever is going to happen that night to happen. This open acceptance will transform the frustration you are feeling regarding not being able to sleep. Each night as you go to bed, say to yourself, "I'm preparing for bed, but I won't try and force sleep to happen. If it comes, it comes. If not, I won't beat myself up over it. This is a period I'm moving through, but I'll soon return to normal sleeping patterns." The anger and frustration of not sleeping is what is keeping you awake. So let me emphasize again the importance of accepting your temporary inability to sleep. Surrender to what may or may not happen during the course of the night. Let go and let whatever happens, happens. Don't judge it, good or bad. If after about 30 minutes in bed and you're really wrestling with the frustration of not sleeping and you notice that you're starting to get more alert, more awake, then run towards that experience. Get up out of bed and complete a task or chore in your home. Something productive that you need to get done, like ironing or folding clothes, cleaning out the cupboards, or maybe washing dishes. Alternatively, if your mind is racing with anxious thoughts on a loop, go to another room, get out some paper and do a mental brain dump. That means you write out all those worries. Just keep writing them out over and over on the paper until you find the task quite boring. Then dispose of the papers. The idea here is to do something meaningful instead of just laying in bed tossing and turning. Now, the only caveat with any of these tasks that you get out of bed to complete is that you don't use your computer, watch TV, or do something that might make you anxious, like filing tax returns. The more mundane the task is, the better. Once you've completed the task for, let's say, 20 to 30 minutes and are starting to feel a little bit sleepy, return to bed. The bonus advantage of doing a productive task is that the frustration of not sleeping is replaced by a sense of, well, at least having done something productive that you would have to do the next day anyway. The other important point is that getting out of bed stops you forming a bad association with your bed. You want your time in bed to be associated with being tired and sleeping, not tossing around in total frustration. Your bed once was a place where you found great comfort and peace, a refuge. It's time to re-establish that relationship. So that's the mental mindset you're going to take with you to bed. And it's also the mindset that you use during the day as you worry about whether you will sleep or not that night. So just to summarize it again, the mental game for insomnia is prepare diffusers that you can tell yourself when the what if I don't sleep thoughts surface. Step two, allow yourself not to sleep. Let go and let whatever happens, happens. Don't put yourself under pressure to fall asleep. You can't mentally force sleep. It's something you fall into naturally when you get your anxious mind out of the way. Step three, if after trying for half an hour, you move into a fully awake or alert state, go with that state. Get up and complete a simple task that gives you some sense of productivity for about 20 to 30 minutes. Then go back to bed when you're starting to feel tired again. What I've described here is a crucial shift in mindset that will really help eradicate insomnia. The second part of the approach is equally important to implement. It's about creating a rock-solid routine for good sleep hygiene. There are seven important steps for good sleep hygiene. Step one is to prep your mind and body for sleep. Now, this first step is to set the right circumstance for sleep to happen naturally. So, no drinking any stimulants during the day that might prevent sleep at night. Now, that means no coffee or soft drinks. It's obvious, but many still ignore the fact that drinking coffee, even at lunchtime, is going to affect their sleeping patterns at night. Next, exercise each and every day. It should be for at least 20 minutes of exercise where you've elevated heart rate and are breaking a sweat. If you can't do it every day, then a minimum of 3 times a week. Exercise is extremely helpful for insomniacs. All the science is in on why this aids sleep and improves mood. Then, just prior to bed, have a small, low glycemic snack, such as a few sticks of celery with almond butter, or a mandarin orange and a handful of almonds, or maybe even plain yogurt and an apple. This is to stabilize blood sugar levels and to help you fall asleep easier. Also, take 250 milligrams of magnesium with this snack. Magnesium is the original chill pill and really aids the natural sleep cycle. Having a hot bath is the traditional recommendation, but according to some Stanford professors, cold is actually a more effective signaler for sleep onset. It's something to do with the way the body goes into hibernation mode when you hit the warm bed after the freezing cold water. So experiment with taking a really cold shower before bed in order to reduce your core body temperature, then jump into bed. Regarding your bed itself, ensure you have a really comfortable pillow and mattress. If you don't have them, get quality bed sheets, ideally linen, to create the association that bed is a comfortable and enjoyable place to be. Make your bed a luxury experience, not a place that you want to avoid. Finally, before bed, play a relaxation audio to help you unwind. A routine of playing a relaxation track creates a habit and sends a clear signal to your body that it's time to sleep. The deep release audio I've produced is a good one for this, and it's available with the DARE book. Okay, those points were all related to step one about preparing your body and mind for sleep. Now we're moving on to step two of good sleep hygiene, which is spend less time in bed. This is a really important step and a key part of all sleep training. Decide on the number of hours you're going to spend in bed and give yourself no more than that. No going to bed early or sleeping in to make up for lost sleep from the night before, and absolutely no naps during the day. That means weekends too. So if your bedtime is 10 p.m. and you rise at 6 a.m., then you stick to that very strictly. You need to feel sleepy getting into bed. If you nap during the day or have slept in late to make up for a night of poor sleep, you'll not feel sleepy at the appropriate time the following night. Don't throw your body clock out of sync. So once the night is over, that's it. Up you get and move on with your day. You're creating a new routine. It'll be hard to do it at first, and you may well feel exhausted, but if you push through, the reward is that you will click into a solid routine and sleep will come effortlessly. As much as you want to have a nap to make up for the exhaustion you feel in the early days of holding this strict routine, don't do it, not even for 10 minutes on the bus. You should be aiming for somewhere between 7 or 8 hours in bed each night. Those are not going to be hours slept. Those are your bedtime hours. Step 3 is related to step 2, and that is get up at the same time each day. Set your alarm for the same time each day and force yourself to get out when it goes off. Some people like to train themselves to almost leap out of bed when the alarm goes off, as it really sends a message that the day has begun. Don't hit the snooze button, even on the weekends. This establishes that solid sleeping cycle for your body. Good sleep loves strict routine. The other thing to do when you rise is to make your bed. It creates a feeling of getting your day off to a really good start and helps you to leave behind whatever happened the night before. Step 4 is bed is for sleep only. Do nothing else in bed but sleep. That means no reading or watching TV in bed. Bed is primarily a place for sleep, and you need to re-establish that strong association. If you're reading, eating, watching TV, or looking at Facebook in bed, it just becomes an extension of your couch. Making love is the only exception because it's an activity that promotes sleep and relaxation. That's allowed, nothing else. You have to re-establish the strong association that bed is for sleep. Remember, as explained previously, if you find yourself wide awake in bed, get up and complete a meaningful task, then come back to bed when you're starting to feel tired. Okay, step 5 is stop identifying yourself as an insomniac. Don't believe in that label. As much as you might like to boast to others about how little you've slept each night, don't. If you over-identify with the idea of being an insomniac, that will slow your recovery. Insomnia is not something you were born with. It's a behavioral problem you are now learning to correct. When you define yourself as a certain thing or a certain type of person, it becomes harder to break out of that mold. For now, you're a recovering insomniac, and soon you will be an effortless sleeper. Step 6 is stop clock watching. This is a common term used in sleep clinics. What it means is that you need to set things up in the bedroom so that there is no way for you to read the time while in bed. That might mean turning your phone off or turning the alarm clock around so you can't see it or reach it from your bed. The single greatest cause of frustration at night is looking at the clock and calculating the few hours you have left to sleep. Time ignorance is bliss when you wake in the middle of the night. Then, when you wake in the morning, don't try and guess the amount of sleep you did or didn't get. Let it go and move on. Studies show that people with insomnia actually fall asleep for longer than they imagine, so it's not as bad as you think. When you worry about how little you have slept, you cause more stress and tension, which would just exhaust you further. Anyway, it's not about the amount of time you sleep, it's about the quality of the sleep that you get. Step 7 is put your life first. What that means is put your life before your sleep. Don't organize your life around your insomnia. Say yes to things. Chronic insomniacs tend not to like having upcoming events, as it keeps them up at night, worrying that they won't sleep and that they'll be too exhausted for the event. Then they live a very restricted life where going away on holiday or sleeping anywhere away from home becomes impossible for them. Don't put insomnia first. Put your life first. That sends a strong signal to your brain that not sleeping is not something to be scared of anymore. Ending an insomnia problem is about you engaging with life again. You win your sleep back by deciding that you are the cure and that you have the ability to master a better approach to sleep. That's the end of this audio. As I said previously, don't expect a sudden or immediate result using this approach. Be patient and allow it time. Just like a newborn baby takes time to settle into a sleep routine, so does the chronic insomniac. You need to give yourself time to fully adopt a new mindset towards sleep, as well as re-establishing a healthy new nighttime routine.